discovering our extraordinary God in the ordinary things of life. Welcome to St. Joseph's Workshop with Father Matthew Spencer on Relevant Radio.
When would you say you've made it in life? And I don't mean in your career, but in your holiness, in how well you're following the Lord. Welcome to St. Joseph's Workshop. This question has been on my mind, in part because I saw the Relevant Radio shared some of my time spent with Chuck Neff on his fantastic program, The Inner Life, heard here on Relevant Radio every day, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. And I shared a little bit about my vocation on that program. And I was thinking as I saw this small little article published on relevantradio.com. I retweeted it. You can see it if you want. It just is talking about how I discovered my vocation and the discernment involved in it, and what a grace that was. And I was thinking how after I became ordained to the priest, or right around the time that I was ordained a priest, I should say, I felt like that was the pinnacle of my life. I mean, it didn't get any better than that. It wasn't going to get any better than that. And I didn't see that in a defeatist way, as if it's all downhill from here. It just felt like, how much closer to God can you get than to be named a priest and then to serve him on the altar? Well, of course, if you're not called to be a priest, then that's not your path to holiness, and you have to find a different way. And so that's what I've been reflecting on since, how that was not the pinnacle of my holiness. And that wouldn't be the comparison to look at for your life either, to say, well, if I'm a priest, then maybe I could be holy. Why? Because every single one of us is called to holiness. Every single one of us is called to give our life to Christ. And you are called to serve the Lord with your whole heart at every moment. How are you going to say that, well, now you've made it, now I've been successful in the Christian life, and now I've finished and accomplished all I need to do? To a certain degree, we can never, ever say that until we have run the race, fought the fight, and have finished our time here on earth. It's not until we reach judgment that we'll be able to say definitively, okay, I'm successful or not. But all the same, I want to look at what's the metric that you use to evaluate your spiritual life on any given day, at any given time. Because we do this for so many other parts of our life. We do it in our career. We do it as a parent. You say, well, am I being a good parent at this moment or not? And what's the metric that you're going to use for that? Of course, you're going to look at virtue. You're going to look at your attentiveness to your children. You're going to look at also your care for their future and preparing them for this world that they're going to have to live in. A lot of different components to your life and to the success of being a parent. What is it about being a Christian, though, that can help you to know whether you're doing God's will or not? I think, first of all, let's work out a definition or an idea of success, because I think most people talk about success in the terms of achieving their particular goals, of filling up their bank account or acquiring the wealth that they feel will make them happy, of getting that honor and prestige and recognition from others. Maybe it has to do with power and reaching a state of power where you feel that you have now reached the goals that you have set before you. Being financially secure, emotionally secure, being surrounded by admirers, I mean, some people might say that that's success, but when you look at your own spiritual life, those aren't always there, are they? Jesus is so clear about this. They're going to treat you the same way they treated Jesus when you're his disciple, and so people will not always respect you, will not always admire you. In fact, sometimes people will vilify you for being a Christian and for following Jesus. So that's not the metric that you're going to use. Unless you use it to say, well, if people are accusing me of being a Christian and of following Jesus too closely, I guess that's a successful thing, you might say. Let's look at Mark 8, actually. Starting with verse 34, Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever, and this is these are Jesus' words, right? Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? In other words, the classic understanding of success in a worldly sense doesn't work when it comes to the spiritual life. It's not like you amass a certain amount of wealth spiritually or in grace and then now can cash that in and compare that. In fact, the spiritual life is all about emptying ourselves, right? And fundamentally, it's about laying down our life for others. That's a difficult thing to gauge in life. I think more than anything, we have to look and say, are we trusting in God at every moment? Are we finding our security in Him? Are we discovering our value in what God thinks of our life at any given time? See, way back when I was ordained a priest, almost about 9 years ago now, it might have felt like I had reached this certain point in my spiritual life and intimacy with God and union with His will. And to a certain degree, I think I did. It was such a blessed time in my life by His grace, experienced His presence so closely. But then the next day, I had to keep serving Him. And the day after that, had to serve Him more. And the next week and the next month and next year down to today, every day, I have to serve Him. But it wasn't enough just to say, well, 9 years ago, I said yes, therefore I'm good. Just like maybe you were married 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and it's not enough just to say, well, I said yes way back when, now I can just coast. No, you have to say yes every single day, don't you? And that's what the success in the spiritual life looks like. Success is not measured by the accomplishments, even by the feelings or the experiences that we have spiritually. Because, let's face it, sometimes our spiritual lives can be rather dark, rather confusing. We can feel abandoned, isolated. I'm thinking of Mother Teresa herself, who was very holy, much holier than you and I, most likely, right? Not that it's a comparison game, but she gave herself so carefully and fully to the Lord. But she experienced desolation for many years of her life. I think her words are very wise. She said, God has not called me to be successful. He has called me to be faithful. God has not called me to be successful. He's called me to be faithful. See, I think it puts this whole idea on its head. The success in the spiritual life is not success at all compared to worldly values. Instead, it's about faithfulness at every moment. And this is why I bring it up, is to ask you how you're doing in that faithfulness. It's not about, is your church project going to succeed? It's not about whether your catechism children are going to score perfect results on their tests at the end of the year. While these are great things, and we hope that our children learn much from our efforts and our work, and while we hope that the time we spent in parish council or in our prayer group is going to bear much fruit, really the success is indicated by how faithful we are at any given moment. And this is true in your parenting. It's true in being a husband or a wife. It's true for me in my priesthood and for me in being an oblate of St. Joseph and my being faithful to what God is asking me of at this very moment. That's a difficult thing to look at, isn't it? And sometimes we shy away from saying, well, I don't know that I want to evaluate if I'm faithful right now. I'd rather look to the past at those times when I know I was or when I felt very faithful. But let's try to live in the present moment a little more often. Let's try to recognize that God wants you to be faithful right now. To turn over past sins to His mercy. Get to confession even if you have to. To not worry about whether you're going to make a lot of people convert to Jesus, to be disciples of Jesus. To know if you're going to finish that great book that you have in mind about your conversion or about God's action in the world. All of these maybe someday will be realized and materialized, but right now, the success of this moment depends on you being faithful, depends on you following the Lord, saying yes to Him right now. I think Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, is another good metric to use. Jesus gives various amounts of money to different, I'm sorry, not Jesus, in the parable, the master gives various amounts of money to individuals and entrusts a responsibility to them to use it wisely. And some, a couple of them, use it very wisely, multiply the resources of their master. They invest it, they care about it, they make more money for their master. But one of them, because he knew his master was a demanding person, verse 24 says, harvesting where you do not plant and gathering where you do not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent, your money in the ground. Here it is back. If we do that, if we go and bury what God has given to us, however small, then we're going to be accountable for that. The Lord is going to ask us how we've handled, how we've used the resources that He's entrusted to us, the gifts, the money, the talents, the skills that He's entrusted to us for the building up of the kingdom. I think that's another metric to use. How well are we using what God has given to us? It's not about how much do we have. It's not about how much God gave us way back when. It's about right now, are we using it well? Are we reinvesting these spiritual gifts, material gifts for the Lord, or not? Are we wasting them? Let's try and be faithful. Let's recognize that right now, at this very moment, you and I have an opportunity to be faithful to the Lord, to turn away from sin, to throw ourselves into the merciful embrace of the Father, and to do the Lord's command. If we do that, that's what success is in the spiritual life. Vish is arguably the best Uber driver in the business. What his philosophy can teach you about evangelization, next.